living from our heart, living from our core, living from our power, we all get more. We are powerful women.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Heart and Soul Summit. I'm Sue Erta, your host for this event and the publisher for Powerful You Publishing, which I'm so honored to do because we get to share so many amazing stories and so many amazing authors with the world. And I know that's why you're here. You want to hear some of these stories. You want to hear some of these women who are so inspiring. They are living these lives that I would call empowered. They're really amazing women. They've had a lot of ups and downs, regular life, just like you and me, and they have decided to follow their purpose. Follow their passion, and they're living it, and they're here to share with you what they have learned and what they know works in their own life so that perhaps you can use it in yours. So I'm happy that you're here listening right now. And I'm excited today to talk with Kathy Sippel. She is a woman I've known for many years. She has written a story in, I believe it's 8 or 7 of our anthology books, and I'm just so excited that she is sharing so many interesting parts of her life because she is one of the more interesting people I know. I'm going to read a brief introduction of Kathy, and then we'll get started talking with her. Kathy Sippel resides just outside of Chicago near the Indiana Dunes with her husband John and their black Labrador retrievers, Bodie and Pima. She is a frequent keynote speaker and trainer and host of 219 Green Connect podcast. She holds a BA in economics from the University of Michigan and is a member of Mensa. Kathy won a Gold Innovator Award from Barbara Marx Hubbard and Conscious Evolutionaries Chicagoland for her empowering and groundbreaking work in social media. Kathy's career continues to evolve. However, she continues to work online with clients everywhere to provide social media strategy, training, and coaching while she pursues a Shinrin Yoku Guide certification. And Kathy, I am happy to talk to you today. How are you?
I am great, Sue. Thank you so much for having me.
That's terrific. I'm happy to be here. And like I said, it's true. You are one of the more interesting people that I know. And I think that comes from your curiosity. You're very curious about things, and then you share it. So it's really kind of cool.
I am. And that is really high praise because I know you run with some really cool people. So thank you for that. It's probably the best compliment I'll get this year.
Well, you're welcome. It's true. And, you know, I like what you're talking about today. So this is another topic that I've actually never heard of before, and I know that you're going to be sharing this with us because it's something that you're bringing into your own life. And your title for today is Revealing the Masterpiece Within, How Ikigai Helped Me Find My Unique Purpose. And so that word, ikigai, can you tell us, you know, what is ikigai? It's probably new to many of our listeners.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, really, at its core, I do want to reference a diagram first. So for those people who are visual learners, it might be really hard to just listen to this in a word picture. So if you'd like to follow along and see what I'm talking about, you can go to kathysippel.com and then just type in the search bar the word ikigai, which is spelled I-K-I-G-A-I. Excuse me, yes, G-A-I. All right, and so for those of you who are fine with a word picture, just let the words wash over you and you don't have to get too technical. But what it basically is it's a Venn diagram. So, you know, Venn diagrams, if you remember, are just a bunch of overlapping circles. And what I see is in the areas of overlap, they're almost like little petals, and those define zones that describe, you know, areas of overlap in your life. Okay, so just for instance, the outer petals are what do you love to do? What does the world need? What are you good at? And what you can be. Okay, so if you kind of look at those four big circles as kind of north, south, east, and west, there are areas of overlap between each of those circles that dive down into, let me just give an example. I'm not going to go through each one right at the beginning. But what you're good at and what you love, the intersection of those are your passion. And if you're like me, you might have read the book Do What You Love and the Money Will Follow. And maybe it will eventually, but it never really says how much or how soon will it follow. You know, so if you don't pay attention to those other circles about, you know, what the world needs, for instance, that can, you know, that can be kind of elusive while meanwhile you're trying to pay off student debt and that kind of thing. So the Ikigai, that center is at the intersection of all of those circles, and therefore those smaller little petals will guide you to that center. So hopefully that makes sense. Does that give a good enough word picture, Sue?
I think it does. Yeah, you're doing a very good job of that. I have that picture in my mind.
Okay, good. That's a good test. I know you looked at it in advance. But, yeah, I think whenever we stay in the outer petals and just think about, you know, well, what could I get paid a lot of money for? Obviously, that's not going to lead you to that center, to that jewel where all the things are rocking and rolling. And if you really stay at the outer, you know, petal for any of those, it's not going to happen.
Yeah, you know, that's so interesting because when you were talking about what the four petals represent, I thought, well, these are the things that, you know, I hope people think about these things anyway and try to overlap them. You know, it seems like that's how you look for a career. You know, these seem obvious to me, but I think to some people, being able to focus on it will really bring some more clarity into their life.
Yes, I agree. You know, I think that it's probably true that most people think about it, but to me it's just a systemic way of looking at it. So in case we forget, or in case you feel kind of like you get off track, you know, you can go back to that and say, okay, you know, am I only worrying about what I can be paid for? And maybe that's what I need to do right now, but how can I bring myself, how can I raise my vibration by maybe looking for what I can be paid for, but that's also in alignment with my mission or, you know, is a little bit more what the world needs. And then, you know, kind of by mapping out a path and not expecting to get to the jewel on your first hit, because that can be kind of frustrating too, and bills can, you know, keep piling up if we insist on only going for the jewel on the one hit. Of course, we'd all like to have a bullseye. But sometimes I think we don't really know what we love, so that can also be elusive. Sometimes I think people's jewel gets covered up for a lot of different reasons. Either we don't allow ourselves to truly admit, you know, what we love to do, or believe that it's possible that we could be paid for it. You know, I think there are just a lot of reasons why people don't get to that jewel.
Yep, absolutely. So this Ikigai, where can we find out more about this?
Yeah, well, absolutely. People can, along with the graphic that I've included on my website, I've got a little article and some helpful tips right on my own website. And, of course, you know, all over Google, there are plenty of things. And on my own website, I'm actually going to talk about how it helped me. And if I may, just go ahead and get into that. Would that be okay?
Yeah, that would be great. I'd love to hear about that.
Great. Well, I'm excited because I actually found a great quote that I love, and this is what I started my chapter in the book with. It's from the Buddhist nun Pema Chodron, and it goes like this. Our true nature is like a precious jewel. Although it may be temporarily buried in mud, it remains completely brilliant and unaffected. We simply have to uncover it. And so, you know, thinking about that, you know, precious jewel buried in mud, that reminds me of, you know, like a water lily arises out of the mud and is a many-petaled flower. And kind of interestingly, Pema actually means lotus. And I named my dog Pema after Pema Chodron partially, but also because we adopted her from the lab rescue after the Houston hurricane last year. And I thought, well, she probably experienced her share of mud and, you know, just wondering what the heck is, where's her jewel? So anyway, kind of a long story, but I guess I've been noodling on this whole idea of Pema, lotus, jewel for a long time, being temporarily buried in mud. So I think about us when we're born, you know, we have that divine spark. We have a purpose, but I think even with the best intentioned, you know, parents and other leadership figures in our lives, sometimes they can place their expectations on what you should be. And gosh, you know, I think it's the Ellen Burstyn, the actress, she has what she calls should-free days. And I think those are such good practice for having a should-free life. I'm definitely not expert at that. I fall victim to shoulds because, you know, I think a lot of people, we want to be people pleasers, and it's a, you know, good way to try to seek approval is to check the boxes that other people expect you to be. And so I think sometimes that can be the mud that buries us, right? Sometimes it doesn't have to be negative. It can be positive. Even parents that say you could do anything, that sort of leaves this budding flower, you know, seeking sun in a lot of different directions where you don't kind of go to the center. So I think that fortunately or unfortunately, that was actually my experience, is I had parents that said, you know, you could do anything. You could literally do anything. And that's lovely. That's very nice. But it didn't guide me to that jewel within. So something about seeing this map, I've always been somebody who likes maps, that's been super helpful. And then along with that, I know I'm throwing out a lot of a lot of random thoughts, but all of these did in fact help guide me to my own center. There's a Buddhist chant that goes Om Mani Padme Hum that means the jewel is in the lotus. And when I think of that, I really picture that Ikigai diagram. And I just feel like that jewel is inside us all along, but we do have to do a little bit of archaeology to get to that center. And so I went down a lot of paths that I don't want to say they're dead ends. I think there are no mistakes on the journey. I think every single thing that you pick up and try to uncover is absolutely helpful to getting to your jewel. So as you said, I am a very curious person. So I think that sometimes by finding the edges of what can I do for money and what is just absolutely, you know, out of the zone that I can call a profession or a vocation, which are kind of the outer limits of what you can be paid for that lead to your ikigai. I have tried to do some things that I knew would be quick money, that would be good money, and if it just didn't feel like for me it was what the world needed or what I was good at, I just couldn't do it for very long. So it's just simply not very sustainable. And I know, Sue, that you and I have talked on other occasions about permaculture and my love of permaculture, which has come up in a couple of my other past books. And in permaculture, there's something called the edge effect. And I think this is a really beautiful idea. In permaculture, the edge effect says that when two or more bioregions or, you know, ecosystems come together, there's actually more diversity in that area of overlap than in either one singly. So an example would be the water and the beach, or the water and the riverside, you know, more near to my own home. So you get kind of a muddy but silty, really productive area that's not quite like water and it's not quite like soil, but it's a combination. So I feel that those areas of richness that are discovered in the overlap are ever, you know, guiding you to that jewel. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think of that too. There's so many things that you said that we could talk about for days probably. But what you're talking about when you bring two people together or two thoughts and that overlap, that's so cool, because I think about what was going in my head was 1 + 1 = infinity, really. It's because there's exponential possibility when you add someone else's thoughts or someone else's ideas or someone else's work to what you're doing. It's beautiful, really.
Yeah, and finding out where your own edges are that don't fit is a really helpful experience. You know, another thing I really like to reflect on is Michelangelo's David. I don't know if you know the backstory of that famous sculpture, but evidently there were other artists who encountered that piece of marble and it was supposedly flawed and they just didn't want anything to do with it. But he looked at it and somehow knew there was a masterpiece within. And so when they asked, how did you know that this masterpiece could come out of this flawed piece of marble, he said, you know, of course, I'm sure it's editorial license, but easy. I just took away everything that wasn't masterpiece, and this is what's left. So sure, you know, makes it sound easy. But honestly, that's the way I see Ikigai, too, is that it's there, it's always there, and we're not really flawed. It's just the flaw is accepting the parts that don't belong there. So if we see our life as just being curious about how to get there, trying on some things, and then, you know, going at it and just chiseling away the things that don't fit, that's all very, very helpful and instructive to getting to that underlying masterpiece that we all have and have that potential to uncover.
Wow. Yeah, I agree with you. That's great. And, you know, I was thinking also about what you said about, you know, your parents. I had similar parents. You know, my dad, anyway, the eternal optimist, right? He passed many years ago now, but he was one of those people who said to me, you know, Susie, you can do anything, anything at all. You are smart. You can, you know, you can do anything. And you're right about that. I felt empowered by it. I also felt like, well, gosh, how do I choose? There's, you know, the world is my oyster here. How do I possibly choose? So I'm going to ask you a question that I wonder. There are people out there that are parents, and they want to also, you know, help their kids. Do you have any suggestions for them in this realm?
Okay, so of course I'm not a parent. I also have to put out that disclaimer. But I think if I was, or even if I was just listening to a young person in my life that's important to me, I think I might actually take this diagram and kind of show them how to map these things. You know, I got so much feedback from college admissions tests saying everything from you could be an advertising account executive to you could be, I think somebody that sells cemetery plots or something. I'm like, what the heck? You know, how does that help me really get down into it? But mapping those things, like those maybe are what you could be paid for and what you're good at. I have a feeling that's probably those tests are a little heavier, you know, in that direction. But it's like map those out and ask the kid, do you love it? You know, could that be a passion, or do you see how that could be adapted if you were doing it for this type of, you know, population? Could that be something that you loved? You know, but kind of working with them to show them that what they love is every bit as important as what they can be paid for, but also what they're good at and what the world needs. You know, so I think just mapping whatever feedback mechanism they're getting. And conversely, if it's just something that, you know, they love and they're sure that they want to be an NBA star or whatever it might be, certainly that might be something that they love. And if they're good at it, they could be paid for. And then challenging them to say, you know, does the world need you to do that? Is that your highest and best good? What does the world need uniquely, you know, from you? So I think just empowering them to look at all of the different ingredients and helping them mix up a recipe that guides them into that center would be the way that I feel would be most empowering, rather than almost that you can do anything encourages them to hold on to the whole big block of marble and not to chip away anything at all. Does that make sense?
Beautiful. It sure does. I like that analogy there. Now, so that's your advice for people when they're talking to kids or other children that they love, whether they're their own kids or not. What about for somebody that wants to apply Ikigai for their own journey? Would you have the same advice, or what would you suggest based on your experience?
Well, you know, if you're raising a family, you have bills to pay, I think, you know, none of us can really afford to just ignore the what you can be paid for sector. So what I'm actually kind of developing is something that overlays Maslow's hierarchy of needs. And for me, those really kind of line up very nicely with the seven chakras. And, you know, through a little process that people can do as a self-guided meditation or a workbook, they can set a goal for themselves in their root chakra that is, you know, kind of a what's grounding me, what do I need to do to pay the bills, and then take it up through not only the chakras to check in with their own chakras to see if the wisdom supports that goal, but also to help apply Ikigai all along the way. So if you could almost think of like the Ikigai flower as your spine coming up out of that middle, you know, center, checking in with your chakras to see, what do I have the energy for at this time? If I really, really need to be in the money sector, then maybe that's the one I've got to pay the most attention to. So honestly, that kind of leads to my free gift that I'd like to offer to people. Is it okay if I put that out there right now?
Yeah, I'd love that.
Okay, great. So on the same page that I've referenced on my website, which again is Kathy Sipple, that's KathySipple.com, and if you type in IKIGAI, that will take you to a page that I've created called Ikigai, The Jewel is in the Lotus. And if you scroll all the way down, you're going to see a free offer where you can download this self-guided meditation. So that is what I'd really like to offer to people. And if they feel like they would benefit from going over that with me, it's funny, I am a social media coach. That is what I have thought that I was doing to pay the bills and, you know, what I was good at. But I have found through applying this process that many times the people I attract to myself are people who are trying to leave the corporate world and do what they love, and we keep going into this Ikigai process along the way. So these are, you know, kind of my best practices that I've learned through helping with helping clients that I thought I was helping with social media, but we've morphed into really how to make it creating a life that they love.
Love it. I love it. So that's great. I think that if anybody is listening to this, do it. Talk to Kathy about this because she is great with all of these things, and she's just wonderful. Like I said, she is one of the most curious people I know, which makes her also one of the most interesting, and also she's so helpful. She is, you know, I know she's worked with many of our authors. She's worked with so many people that I know that have benefited from her expertise, and she's so generous in giving. So if you have questions, definitely be in touch with Kathy. And Kathy, thank you so much for this. It's another new thing for us to learn, this Ikigai. It sounds great.
Thank you, Sue. Thanks for letting me share the information.
That's great. And Kathy, again, I want to thank you for being a part of everything that we do. You are, you know, as you know, our trainer for our authors on our social media and internet marketing and how to get yourself out there and create these social relationships online. And I love that, and our authors really appreciate you with that. And you have been wonderful in sharing different parts of your life in our anthology books. And so I know that our listeners will love reading your story in this new book that we have, Heart and Soul, that's coming out on November 14th. So I just so appreciate you being a part of everything that we do.
Well, I really love doing it. It definitely has helped me find my own jewel. So I appreciate that. Maybe you're like my rock tumbler. How about that as an analogy?
That's helpful to be your rock tumbler.
Yeah, I think having really great people in your network helps you stay accountable to finding your jewel.
Yes, I believe it does. Well, that's great. And listeners, thank you. And think about that for yourself. Who is your rock tumbler, and whose rock tumbler are you? And how can you bring more of this into your life that you can find your own jewel within? I'm so happy that you're listening to this summit. I hope you will continue to listen to the Heart and Soul Summit and also buy this book, Heart and Soul, on launch day, which is November 14th. And when you buy that book from Amazon and you come back to our website, heartandsoulbook.com, you'll receive many, many gifts from our partners. So all you have to do is enter your Amazon receipt number and your email, and you'll get access to a page there, and it's awesome. All the gifts that we have for you, all kinds of meditations and downloads and free reports and ebooks and really cool stuff that come along with you purchasing this book. So I invite you all to have a beautiful, wonderful day. Think about your own lotus and your jewel within, and take that out into the world and share it, because you are then living from your heart and soul. Thank you, everybody. Have a beautiful day.
Living from our heart, living from our